Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are waiting, so strong. When there is silence, hope gives a song. Out there in a world that seems so wrong, hope lives on. Out there in a world that seems so wrong, hope lives on.
Hope does live on, folks. There is always hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, not the Son of Allah, not the Son of Buddha, the Son of God, and in Him there is hope. Well, we welcome you to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard. Blessings to you.
And to you. I hope you have experienced a as beautiful a day where you're at as we have here. It has been blue skies and a little breeze, and had the opportunity to work outside doing some fencing today, and so we are certainly abundantly blessed here in the Lord, and so hopefully you've had a great day as well.
Well, we have. You have an edge on us, being at higher altitude and elevation. Cooler weather tends to be in your area.
Yes.
We had a pretty good hot day. I think it got up to around 96 or so, maybe a little higher. But it was a nice summer, typical day in Oklahoma, and we had a good breeze blowing, so it was nice.
Well, praise the Lord.
I enjoyed sitting out on our patio and just enjoying the feel of it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is Hope is Alive, and got a scripture we'll start out with tonight, and it's part of the Great Commission. We read about it in Matthew. We also read about it in Mark. In Mark, it's the words of Christ starting in verse 15, and He said, meaning Jesus Christ said to them, His disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You know, I've been a Christian for about 24 years, I guess. 23, 24 years. And I'm continuing to learn to see things in the Holy Word of God that I haven't seen before, or that didn't have the meaning to me that they had. But I believe this scripture. I believe that he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. I have believed, I've been baptized, I am saved. I believe that, I know it. It also says these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons. I can tell you I've done that. I've had to cast them out of my house in the name of Jesus Christ. I've had to cast them out of myself. Evil spirits, cantankerous, whatever they are. And I've seen them come out of other people. And I read it in the Word. So when I read it in the Word, and then I've seen it with my eyes, and I've lived it, and I've experienced it, well, there's those second and third witnesses. But more importantly, I read it in the Word, and I believe it. They will speak with new tongues. Now, you know, I've heard a pastor one time give a testimony that he preached a sermon and just preached it, didn't think twice about it. And after the sermon, everybody got up and left, and he shook everybody's hands. But there was one man, a doctor, that didn't get out of his seat. And he sat there. And the doctor came up to the preacher after the sermon. He said, Pastor, he said, where did you learn Latin? He said, because I learned Latin in medical school. I had to for this. He said, but I have never heard Latin spoken like that. And the preacher said, I don't know a word of Latin. And so, see, there was a sermon that was given for that doctor in a language that doctor could understand. It says that right there. They will speak with new tongues.
Yes.
And now there's other...
I remember.
There's other tongues as well that are given, you know.
Yes.
Now, and I have heard prayers offered in tongues before that were right and proper. And so when I see it again, when we, all of us folks, when we see it in the Word, we have to believe it. We should believe it. They'll pick up serpents.
Never forget a Brother Richard. One time I was watching the 700 Club, and they were interviewing a man that was, I believe it was the Dutch Reformed Church, and they don't have anything to do with tongues, apparently. But he and a number of his other people had done a missionary trip, and they'd gone down to India, and they were in this back location, and there was like several thousand people gathered up there, and they're going to be doing this typical salvation prayer, but the word comes that the translator's car had broken down, and so here's all these people assembled, and the Lord spoke to this pastor, and he said, stand up and I'll take care of it. So he stood up in the pulpit where they were preaching from, and he started speaking in tongues. He'd never spoken in tongues before. And the Lord just told him, keep doing this. So he just kept speaking in tongues. And after a while, it was obvious that everyone out there was in these were Indian people in India. They were obviously understanding him. And he went preaching in tongues. And then the Lord finally said, and now we're going to have the altar call. So he continued speaking in tongues, and now these people come rushing forward. And he told on the 700 Club, he said, I'm sure I must have preached the best message I ever have in my life, and I never knew what I said.
How about that?
An example of that. You know, the supernatural is with us, and as I often say, I'm not surprised at anything.
Well, again, when we read it in the Word, and, you know, we've been pushing for the last several years, especially the last couple of years, for the Christians to read your Bible. It's part of what we are to do. Pastor Cox, I think you've got it in your book. It's one of the maintenance things to do is to read the Word. That's what we are to do. It's one of the many ways that our God communicates with us, that he tells us what he wants us to do, that he tells us what not to do, that he warns us against things. Anyway.
Amen. So
praise
true.
The Lord.
Well, and in conjunction with the passage you just read in Mark 16:17, you know, where we're commanded in Jesus' name to cast out evil spirits, and that includes even spirits of infirmity, which I think is very interesting, because over in the King James, in Luke 13:11-12, we read an account there where Jesus ministered to a woman in the synagogue who was had apparently a problem with her back. She was bowed over.
Yes.
And Jesus said of her problem that this is a spirit of infirmity put on this woman these 18 years by Satan. And then Jesus loosed that. In other
yes.
words, he cast it out. He
yes.
loosed it out of her, and he also laid on of hands, and of course she was made whole. And then we read in John 14:12, where we as believers are to do the same works of Jesus, so whatever he did, we're supposed to be doing it, and when we do, these supernatural things happen. It's pretty exciting to me.
Oh, it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, it is. And it's to his glory, and it... And he desires to do those things if his people will believe, and if his you know, he gives us the power to do it, if we'll do it.
Yes.
If we'll do it.
I remember an interview I did when I did my radio show here in Oklahoma City some years back. But it was a pastor from New Mexico, Carlsbad is where it was, and he reported how a member of their church had driven into their front yard, and his wife had called at the same time that she thought he was having a heart attack. He had talked to her on the phone, and he said, "No, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm going to the church." He gets up into the front yard of the church, went over the curb, and they ran out. They saw him coming, and they got him out, and they were praying for him. And the Lord stopped this pastor. And his name was Bob McCormick, and he said, "Quit praying for him, cast the spirit out." And so he changed his approach. Instead of praying to the Father in Jesus' name, do something, he started coming against the spirit, and it looked like heart attack, as apparently everyone thought that's what was happening. And suddenly, and this guy had gone comatose, suddenly he lurches, and a demon speaks out of his mouth and says, "He will never preach. He's going to die. Ha, ha, ha." And he was scheduled, we found out later, he told me, that he was scheduled to do his first sermon at the church the coming Sunday. So the demon was trying to take him out. Well, they stayed in the attack mode, cast that spirit of heart attack out directly in Jesus' name, and the man was back to normal.
Amen.
And I've always remembered that if we see situations like that, let's remember that to use this power that we've been given and speak directly to a spirit of death or heart attack or whatever it is that seems to be going on.
Amen. I'd like to read from Ephesians 6, starting in verse 12. It says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Now, that's the thought that occurs to me as you're giving that story, Pastor Cox, that testimony, is because we push and we promote and we believe in the full armor of God, and we encourage our people to pray that on every day. So once you get it on, well, then what? Then what? You're girded up. You're ready for battle. Well, Pastor Cox just told us one of the battles that we can fight, one of the battles we can win, because we have all power and authority in Jesus' name and to his glory. You know, Jesus Christ called
Amen.
Lazarus from the grave. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He was rotting. He was experiencing decay and deterioration. And when Jesus Christ, in his name, power, and authority, called him from the grave, immediately he was perfect. And doesn't he tell us to do that?
It's interesting to realize there, too, he wasn't praying to the Father for it to happen. He spoke directly,
yes.
"Lazarus, come forth."
Yes.
He spoke directly. And then again, we are to do the same in his name.
Yes.
An amazing thing to get hold of. I still have to pinch myself a lot.
Pastor, yeah, we've got a caller. I know we've got Lisa calling in now. We'll see if that's her. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Well, it is her. Well, Lisa, welcome to Hope is Alive.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. So glad you called in. And I talked to Lisa earlier to the idea of calling in and kind of sharing on how she first learned about this works of Jesus called deliverance or casting out of evil spirits like we've been talking about. And how you first learned about it, Lisa, and then saw the practicality of it, and any experiences you might be comfortable in sharing. So just go right ahead, if you would.
Well, absolutely. Well, I'd actually heard about your ministry probably 10 years ago, but never really pursued it. But recently I had a family member that went through the Monday night deliverance and just really encouraged me to go, said it was worth, 10 years of counseling and it was free. And so I took my little girl, who is 12 years old, because she's had chronic headaches for 2 years, and she's missed probably about 30% of school this year and a lot of her dance activities, because these headaches just take her down and she can't do anything. And so I take her to a back doctor, probably paid, around $500-$600 in all for a back doctor, and then had a lot of different, natural remedies. I was using oils and essential oils to try to minimize the pain, and even ibuprofen, nothing worked. And then it just, a light went on in my head, and I thought, maybe this is spiritual. And so I really wasn't confident really in my ability to, I don't know much about deliverance, and so it just kind of coincided with the time my brother-in-law had been telling me about your ministry, so I took her. And so after, the session, she said that, she had felt some tingling sensations, and she had yawned, and she really felt like she had experienced deliverance. And so something really interesting happened that night. She, about 3 in the morning, she came into my room, and she was shaking her hand, and she said, "Mom, my hand's tingling. I think it's a demon." And I kind of laughed, because I'm thinking her hand's asleep. And I said, "Honey, your hand's just asleep. It's okay." She said, "No, Mom, this has been happening for 5 minutes. It won't go away. Pray over my hand." And so I really half-heartedly grabbed her hand, thinking her hand's asleep, and I said, "Demon, go in the name of Jesus." And I did not even think it was anything, and I'm trying to scramble for what to say, and I just kind of repeat myself, "Demon, go." And I said, "Okay, honey, you're good. Go back to bed." And she left, and when she left, I sensed a demonic presence by my bed. And I have a discerning spirit, and I knew it was a demonic presence, and I realized immediately I'd actually taken authority over a demon. I'd never experienced that before in my life. And the Lord quickened to my mind that when you guys did that during our deliverance, you said, "Go to the foot of the cross." And I didn't do that. I just said, "Demon, go." So I sat up in bed and I said, "Go to the foot of the cross in the name of Jesus," and it was immediately gone. I was absolutely blown away. It was such a faith builder for me to experience that part of it. But nonetheless, that was 8 weeks ago, and she has had 2 headaches since then, and I immediately took authority knowing what it was, and she is headache free. It was really our first miracle that we saw in our family. It was been very exciting.
Praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is really awesome.
Wow.
And so then I have my son who's 17. I took him to see Everett one-on-one just 2 weeks ago. He has what we felt like was bipolar. He's actually been diagnosed with pyral disorder, but it looks like bipolar. He experiences extreme highs that have actually put him into the hospital because his behavior becomes so erratic. and extreme lows that are just, I can't even put into words how despairing he is and we are when he's in a low. It's like he can't function. It's been devastating because he's just been this amazing kid. I mean, real special. People when he was younger would pull us aside and tell us how special they thought he was, that they really felt like he had a calling on his life. And he just brought, always has brought so much joy to people, had this real cheerful disposition and just this love for Jesus. It's like he was young. He just had this love for the Lord that I really didn't, I don't know where it came from, God. I mean, it was just always so sweet to me. But when he was about 13, he started experiencing chronic stomach issues, and then that turned into some really deep depression, and then we started seeing these super highs and these super lows, and his life just turned upside down completely. And so I actually started with Deliverance, but it wasn't through Everett Cox. It was through somebody in Midwest City, and nothing happened. Nothing changed. And then that was 2 years ago. And then I started again going to doctors, specialists, and tried some alternative options. And we just weren't seeing any change. And then my husband and I went through some deliverance. And that's when we really began to see some hope. I took Caleb to Everett Cox, like I said, 2 weeks ago. And he was had been in a real deep depression, and he was coming out of it, getting ready to go into the manic phase. And it's real predictable. I can see it coming. Anyway, he's not gone into manic, and he's not been depressed. I mean, he's actually balancing out. It's a miracle. I mean, it stopped. It's amazing. I mean, I can't even put into words how. There's so many things that we're excited about, not just him balancing out and getting his life back, but us just knowing the authority that we have and starting to understand that and realizing the power that we have, especially when we close doors that are open in our generation, which we didn't really understand that. My husband and I have gone through a house cleaning. Before we took Caleb to see Everett, we went to see Everett and realizing we needed deliverance. We're a pipeline to our son. And so we did clean house with ourselves before we took Caleb, and then we took Caleb, and, you know, right now he's at a Christian camp. He couldn't go to 4 weeks ago because he was so depressed, but we were able to take him, and it's been amazing. Truly life-changing, absolutely life-changing.
Praise God. Well, that's our Jesus, amen? That's exciting.
Amen.
Yeah.
I was brought up in the Catholic Church, which, you know, I did have a strong faith growing up, but really didn't learn anything about the Bible or the authority that we have or deliverance, just none of that. I mean, it was just all, ignorant. We were just ignorant of those things. So it's just awesome. It's like a treasure, I feel like, that we found. It's really awesome.
And what's neat is, Lisa, we all can do this. This is not a special gift area. It is normal Christianity for all Christians, believers. And as we read
right.
the scripture earlier, Jesus commanded believers to do this, not someone with a special gift, believers. So all of us can do it. And as we speak in
Absolutely.
His name, as believers and born-again Christians, with Caleb is a really handsome young man, and I know you're very proud of him. And you know, I was able to get the head demon up with him and was able to interrogate it directly. And the head demon being disruption. And
yes.
It disclosed there were 11 spirits under his authority. And I ultimately packaged all of them up together and blew them out to the feet of Jesus. And by the way, the spirit could see God's warring angel circled around us at one point. I said to the demon, "Well, point out the meanest looking angel," and it took his hand at a 45 degree angle.
Wow!
And I assigned that angel to directly discipline the demon if it did not cooperate.
Awesome.
But also, I had the demon disclose the lies had been telling him, gave the top 10 lies, and he later told me he'd been hearing all that in his head. And then I had it disclose his God-given gifts, and the demon even admitted that's why it had fought him so hard, tried to block his life, because, you know, that's their mission, is to block Christians' lives so we won't be able to use our gifts. And he was loaded with gifts. You saw the list, didn't you, Lisa? And he has a tremendous future ahead of him now without the demons blocking him.
Absolutely, Everett. And, you know, it's given me such a fire and a passion to be a part of your ministry. I mean, like I said, I was there Monday night going through the training. I mean, how many people are held captive? And, you know, my heart breaks for so many teenagers like Caleb. I mean, we had to call the police once to our house. And they said there's so many kids in just Edmond alone that are suffering with, you know, mental illness. And it's just devastating. It's turned our family upside down. And so
the
true miracle.
The secular world calls it mental illness. In the deliverance circles, we call them demonic.
And that's exactly right.
So many of them never get ministry. They don't know to get it. They just keep living with it and coping. Well, it's with demons sitting there, it's not an easy thing to hold them off and to counter the powers in the name where we cast them out. So we all have a big job to do. It's a huge job. The body of Christ overall is learning more and more about this. It's been kind of slow after 2,000 years, but praise God, we're learning now, and more Christians are getting into this kind of ministry. And I'm excited that you're going through the training, and I could tell you'll be a good team leader, Lisa.
I've been praying about where the Lord would have me minister, and I feel like, you know, he's pointing this direction, you know, so I'm very excited about it. I really feel like this is where the Lord wants me. So, and you know what, Caleb, in the depths of his depression or the heights of his manic, my prayer was that the Lord would use me and use Caleb in a powerful way when we got through this. I did know in my heart, I really felt in my heart we'd get through it. I didn't know what it was going to look like or how it was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to be through your deliverance ministry. But it's been a shorter road than I thought it would be, because I know there's some people that deal with this for a long, long time before they get set free. So, very grateful.
Well, again, that's our Jesus, and he gave us the tools and the weapons to deal with it if we just will and learn about how to do it.
Everett, let me just say one more thing. You know, I had kind of hooked arms with a healing ministry about 5 years ago. They were, you know, big on healing and the laying on of hands. And, you know, I got really frustrated because I didn't really see much movement in my own life in regards to healing. And I couldn't figure out why, because I believed what the Word said. It was very, to me, self-explanatory in the Bible. I mean, these signs shall follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. But I wasn't seeing that. And what the Lord has shown me really through your ministry it's just deliverance. I mean, my husband and I had unforgiveness. We had bitterness in our hearts. We just had a lot of generational curses that we weren't aware of. And so, I mean, the Holy Spirit just wasn't moving. And once we got those doors closed and went through deliverance, the power we have seen working in our lives is awesome. It's just so exciting. It's like, wow, that's what was missing. It was deliverance.
Yes, and you know, in those commands, Jesus, even in the command set up, Mark 16:17, he first commanded believers to cast out demons, and then a little later on, he said, lay hands on the sick. And that's exactly what he did in Luke 13:11 and 12, of the lady in the synagogue, he loosed the spirit of infirmity out that he said Satan had put on her. He loosed it out of her, and then he laid on his hand. So it makes sense that a good approach is to cast out the possible demons of infirmity, just like Jesus did, first, and then lay on his hand. So that ministry was probably missing that first part.
Right. Exactly. And it's just, again, to realize and to actually have seen, you know, to go through your ministry, but also to have that experience that I had with my daughter that night, and to really know, to experience that I can do this. You know, I one thing for me to know in my head I have authority, but a whole different thing when I actually experience it. So I'm just so excited. I can't wait to cast out my next demon.
I can tell you're excited. And you know, what you experienced with you and your husband going through ministry first, we've seen many times over, people call about a child that needs help and so on, but we found a lot of times when the parents go through ministry first, and the more younger the child, the more this applies, but if the parents go through first and get all the generational curses broken off and all, and the unforgiveness cleared out and all, it often just automatically flows to the minor child, and the child doesn't even need ministry in a lot of cases later.
Right, and I heard you say that the other night, and that's definitely, I feel like, a picture of what would happen with my daughter and then Caleb. So, absolutely. We got a clean house
first.
Well,
praise God. Do you have any?
Well, Everett, thank you for your ministry. Thank you so much. I've told so many people about you because I just, you know, what you do is, I mean, it really could change the world. I mean, really, it's amazing. It's wonderful. I don't know why more churches aren't doing it. I'm very grateful for your ministry.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And do you have any last thing to say to the listeners before we let you go?
This is the real deal, you know, and this is life-changing. I feel like my life will never be the same. I just feel like through what's happened the last 4 or 5 weeks, my life's going to be changed forever, and the lives of my children, because they're getting revelation and understanding of who they are in Christ, and the authority and the power they have in Christ, and that changes everything for them. And so I would definitely encourage people to seek out your ministry if they feel that they need it, you know, if they feel like they need deliverance, if they're stuck in an area, just to seek it out, and they'll never look back.
Amen. They can go to Google and find Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma. That's an easy thing. Or it's deliveranceusa.com will also get to us. Well, thank you, Lisa. Blessings to you, and go forth. Amen.
All right. Amen, Everett. We'll see you next Monday.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Wow, what a testimony.
Wow, that's our Jesus.
Amen.
I just keep praising our Lord for what he did for us at the cross, that he will use all believers to do these kinds of things in his name.
Yes.
And will speak directly to it.
Yes. You know, the word says he calls the weak, the weak and the foolish in the eyes of the world to confound the world. And that's what he does.
Yeah,
he calls the weak and the foolish. And like you said,
world,
it's the believers.
The world, yes, and let's face it, this subject does initially sound really far out. You know, casting out of evil spirits in the space age today.
Yep. Right.
But this is nevertheless what it is.
That's right. That's right. But it's something that
our word is still true.
Yep, it's something that our enemies have done. You know, we have enemies today. There's enemies of Christ, those that that deny him, that hate him and hate his followers. We see it in every aspect of our society today, to where the very mention of the name of Jesus Christ is all but against the law in this once Christian land. And, you know, our enemies do that. They take what is pure and right in the Word and they pervert it. They pervert it in their movies.
Yes.
They pervert it in their books. And, you know, they take everything and they do it to keep us in sin and to keep us away from the promises of God. You know, tithing, for example. You know, if you want to be blessed financially, tithe. It's as simple as that. The Word says that. If he will not open up the windows of heaven and do that. If
yes.
you want to have health, well, the Bible tells you how to have health. You know, if you want to live long in the land and have your days prosper, you know, one thing, honor your mother and father. You know, the Word is there for the believer. And what we read in Mark 16:17 is there as well, and the testimonies that was just given. The Word is truth.
Amen.
It's just a matter of doing it, of believing it, you know, and then living your life doing what you believe.
Yes.
You know, being a believer is not just a thought. It's not just a, okay, well, I believe Jesus can do this, or Lisa said, I believe when he says that I could do it. It's one thing to just say that, but you know, you got to put it into action. You have to follow it up. You have to faith it to make it happen. And when you do, whew, it's life-changing.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, that's our Jesus, and that's the Word performing itself. So, now we're believing instead of doing the usual 15. We did 16 cases this last Monday. Normally it's around 15. And we're believing to do double that this year. There isn't any reason why we can't double. I mean, the need is there.
Amen.
We just need more ministers. And just like Lisa going through the training and others, you know, we just need more ministers. I love the one-on-one. We do group ministry if we have to, but I don't like it as well, because you can't focus, you can't dig, you know, you can't you get a feel and some discernment concerning the person you're ministering to. So I'm believing for a good 30 ministers every Monday night, and I know the Lord will send the people in, because the need is much, and again, the workers are few.
Yes, but you know, we're sure noticing that time of harvest that the Bible talks about is drawing near. You know, more of his people are returning to him. They're knocking, they're seeking, they're asking, you know, just in the general society, the people are seeing that things are not right. You know, whether it's in public in general, or as Lisa said, in our own homes. You know, that, wait a minute, this is just, something's not right here. And you can, you know, whether you sense it, like Lisa talked about, sensing that spirit, and then realizing, wait a minute, I cast it out, but I didn't cast it out of the house. I cast it out of my daughter. I need to send it to the foot of Jesus, to the cross. You know, where Satan was defeated 2,000 years ago, and be done with it. You know, because if not, it could stay there.
That was kind of neat. The little daughter, she knew she had something in her hand, and we see that quite a bit, where the spirit, if it didn't quite go, then that's apparently what happened in her case. Then later it came down her arm. We have people tell us, oh, it's in my arm, it's in my hand, and they'll start shaking their hand, you know. And one of the things I learned many decades ago was a pastor in Arkansas had told me that when you know where the spirit is in a person's body, if they're feeling it, if you'll take the Bible and touch there, that the spirit will run from it. And so when somebody says, it's in my hand, they're shaking their hand, I just open the Bible up, it doesn't matter where, and say, all right, put your hand in the Word. And then I shut the Bible over their hand, and the spirit blows out.
Well, you know, the Bible, the word tells us that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
There you go.
And so it you know, I'm back to Ephesians. I know we've got Andy here called. Maybe Andy's going to make the call in here, but I'm back to Ephesians. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, you know, folks, when we armor up, we encourage you. Pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Pray on the full armor of God that you read here in Ephesians 6 on yourself. And then pray it on your family. Pray, as it says here, in addition to all, you know, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. That's what we are to do. We are to pray for one another.
Yes.
And when the battle comes, you know, take up that shield of faith. Take up that sword of the Spirit. And in the command and authority that we have, fight against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And command it to go. We have that power and authority.
There's a scripture in Ephesians 6:17. It says, it talks about how the word is a sword.
Yeah.
That's what you were touching on.
The sword of the Spirit
and
is the word of God.
That may be another reason these spirits will run from the physical Bible. To them, it is like a sword. And in ministry, I often take the Bible and just put right in the person's stomach area, since that's where so many of those spirits hang out. And then, you know, the spirit will come on out. But it's like a sword to them.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
It is.
We are so well armed from the cross. We have all these weapons to utilize in spiritual warfare if we'll just use them. And, of course, I didn't know until age 44 before I started learning about this. I had no idea about it. And there's so many. But Christians are learning more and more, and the media is helping so much, you know, with all the medias that we have today, just like what we're on right now. Besides radio and the shortwave stations, here we are on the computers.
Amen.
A good number of the people listen on the computers.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I don't guess Andy's called in.
No, I don't have any lines blinking, and so I sure don't. I had to cast a demon, a demonic thing out of my house one time. Had picked up a Mexican blanket, an Indian type Mexican type blanket, and had it home. And one of my children was little at the time, and so we used it to just fold it up like in half and half again, and with another blanket, like a little pallet on the floor, and he would, you know, take naps on it and just had problems breathing and this was several years ago, at least 10 or 11 years ago. And we just couldn't figure it out. I can remember staying up with him at night and just praying over him and praying and just, you know, Lord, you've got to make him breathe. I can't do this. This is what you do, Lord. And he was just, you know, we had the elders at church pray for him. And I remember being up about 5 o'clock in the morning, and it wasn't light yet, and had been in the rocking chair, been up half the night with him, and it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me and just said it was that blanket. And I walked across the floor, and I picked up that blanket, and I walked to my front door, and I said out loud, in the name of Jesus Christ, you evil spirit, leave from this house. And I threw that blanket out in the yard. And it was gone. And my son never had any more problems.
Praise God.
You know, you know, the world looks at that as foolishness. But that's part of the power of the cross. We see it as salvation and the power from God. And the world looks at it as foolishness. So, you know, folks, if you're tuning in, if you're hearing this for the first or the 31st time, and you're not used, maybe you're not used to it, maybe you haven't experienced it, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. if you read it in the Word, it is truth. You know, maybe you don't understand it. I tell you, I don't understand all of it. You know, if we understood everything that was in this Word, we would be God, and we're not. But but yes. What we get,
but you know, it's
embrace.
Common. It's rather common, Richard, on having spirits in houses. We foresee that constantly. I did a chapter in my book on it, and
yes,
with a checklist, and I just had a call about a week and a half ago of someone that needed a house cleaning, and they were wanting me to come out and do it, and I referred them first to a chapter in the book about exercising houses or land, and suggested that they had it, and that they just go to that and go down the checklist, because actually the greatest power is in the owner of the property, or whoever's, you know, if you're leasing the property, it's, you know, the bundle of rights, it's just the same as owning it, for spiritual reasons. You have the authority there, better than
yes,
me coming over there, for example.
Sure.
And so if I go over there, I have the owner of the house, I lead them through the prayer of doing it. Well, they just went through the checklist and went through it, and praise God, apparently everything is gone now. So,
well, good.
I didn't have to go out there.
Well, great. Well, we do have a caller. We'll see who it is. Hey, welcome to Hope is Alive.
Good evening, men.
Good evening.
Pastor Everett, I heard you talk last week, I think it was, about sometimes it takes several sessions to get spirits to come out, and I wondered if you could address that a little bit.
Sure. Everybody's different, and some people are just more complicated than others, but the biggest thing that you've got to understand is that those demons often have legal rights, and while you might drive some out just by you know, staying in the fight, but if there are legal rights or doors still open for those spirits, they can come back. Even though they're cast out at one point, they may come back the next day. And so that's why it's so important to go through something like this door closing prayer that we have, that there's 15 doors that we've learned about that spirits can come through. On our website by video under self-ministry, but it's also under, if you go to our website under ministry tools, you'll find that door closing prayer in there, and you can print it off and then do it out loud. But if you're needing ministry, or if you're talking about yourself, you could go through the actual video teaching and video ministry where we go through all that. I actually, it's a video, and I take people through the whole thing, and that helps a lot of people.
Okay.
Does that help some?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear you talk on that one more time, so that's all I wanted. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome. God bless you.
And do have the phone lines open, as you can hear, folks. We've got about 10 more minutes, 307-745-5913. We're live here this Wednesday night. Now, this program replays on Friday night, I think, about the same time. About the same time on Friday night, because there's some people that just don't make Wednesday night. And so you might be hearing it then. Praise the Lord that He has made a way to get... through the shortwave and the internet and the computers and the phone lines to be able to share his gospel message with his people many different ways, many different times.
Amen. Well, it's a big gospel, and the spirit world is huge. And the people, for the most part, the problems they have going in their lives, they don't pick up on the idea that there might be something spiritual behind those problems. And the way you would typically recognize there might be some demons present is when a particular problem is overboard, you know, it's beyond some natural level of it. It's overboard, out of balance, reoccurring and tormenting. That's when it's suspicious that it very well could be a demon, and which is great news. Anytime we can figure out our problems have something spiritual base, that's great news, because in Jesus' name we can really deal with them, and typically in one session that problem is gone. So a lot of people are overlooking, they just live with the various problems. That list can be found under ministry tools and or under self-ministry on our website, which again is deliveranceusa.com, deliveranceusa.com, and you can either go to self-ministry or to ministry tools, and you'll find where it says problem list. It's a two-page list that we hand out to people when they first come in for ministry. It's on a clipboard, and we give them some time to go through that and circle the problem areas that they feel is suspicious, that they would like us to focus on as a possible spirit. And we usually address more than what they circle anyway, because we've learned of the 36 typical spirits that are in people that there are some demons that are just always there in that grouping. So we've got asterisks by those on the list, and that's a tip-off to the minister to be sure and address that group. Even if the person has not circled them.
Sure.
Fear is one of those. I'm looking at the list right now. Bitterness has an asterisk. Condemnation, you know, with guilt and unworthiness and shame and a number in that group, and the stress group has an asterisk by it, you know, depression, worry, grief, heartache, emotional pain, unlovingness, entrapment, loneliness. Again, there's some natural levels of those kinds of things, but if it's overboard, out of balance, reoccurring, and tormenting, it's very likely it could be even a generational spirit that's come through your dad or your mom. So it would be good for people to get that list and look
yes.
at.
And now that list is that list is also in your book, Doing the Supernatural Works of
yes.
Jesus, and that's available from We Carry It, Scriptures for America Ministry, and of course Pastor Cox at Deliverance Ministry has it as well. And it's available, you can order it off his website. And, you know, I have to tell you, we got to meet you face-to-face at Branson this year, and that was a good experience for us.
Delightful.
Was able to bring some of your books back, but I got to tell you, I sent 20 of them to Alaska yesterday. So
wow.
I had a brother up there. We had a brother and that's the second time he's done that. And so that's 40.
Is that the Howard?
That's the Howard. 40. That's a total, I think, of 40 that have gone to Alaska that have been handed out, given away. And, you know, because it's helped him. And it's part of sharing the gospel. It's part of sharing the power and authority that we have, the blessings that we have that come from the cross. And so, I'm going to have to...
Well, I met Howard.
Yeah. But he did.
I met Howard at Branson. Wouldn't surprise me if he wouldn't be setting Alaska free next.
There you go.
I was very impressed with him, and I really enjoyed getting acquainted with him. And, I can see him doing this kind of ministry.
Absolutely.
So that's probably the next thing we'll hear.
Yep.
Alaska's getting set free.
Amen. It needs to be. Every state does. Every state does.
Yes.
And so I'm gonna have to contact your Richard by email the next day or two and get another case or two of books, and that's good though. Praise the Lord. It's you know, we have to glean what we can.
We just ordered another 1,000 books from the printer.
Oh good.
And so they'll be coming in.
Well, that's
good. We've had that order in actually a couple of weeks, because before Branson we were starting to run low.
Well, great.
You know, something else on the list is witchcraft, and that's good to note, because anybody that's messed with any witchcraft, like an Ouija board, or gone to a palm reader or fortune teller, done any kind of witchcraft, it opens the door.
Yeah.
And people that have been involved in witchcraft are often some of the more difficult ones to get free. Those deep demons are really deep rooted, and we have to really have to take them through the repenting process heavily and so on to get them free. But we can.
Amen.
And
Amen.
It's just a matter of repenting, and that's how you close that door.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Cox, last weekend I saw a sign at a Christian center, and it said spiritual readings. And I thought,
give me a break.
That is not Christian. That is not of
Good
God.
Gosh. That
yes,
yeah,
spiritual readings is how they put it. Spiritual readings.
Give
and
me
it,
a break.
And you know, I just may have to go back there and confront them on that, because it is just not. So many of
people,
our people
just
are deceived.
Don't know.
People just don't know. That's
it's
right.
The same. It's the same with yoga. There's a number of churches that promote yoga.
Yeah.
They call it Christian yoga. Well, there isn't such a thing.
No.
It's all Hindu. Even
That's
the
right.
exercises
yep.
are
they,
a tribute to Hindu gods.
Absolutely. They are. They are. And,
it opens the door.
It does. It does. Well, Pastor Cox, we are out of time tonight. It's been a pleasure and an honor being here tonight. And we sure thank Lisa for calling in and giving the testimony. I know that helped people out there. I know it did. It'll get people thinking. It'll get people to go and read their Bible. And say, well, is that, well, she mentioned it, and they heard scriptures tonight. They'll go and read it. And we hope so. That's part of it. So deliveranceusa.com is the website. Is that right? Deliveranceusa.com?
That's correct.
So we encourage you folks, if you have the internet, to do that. If you want the book, you can contact us here at Scriptures for America, and we'll be glad to send it out. We've still got some in stock, and we're going to send them out. We're going to order some more. Well, Pastor Cox, again, thanks for being here, and thanks for all you do for the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Great to be with you, Richard. Blessings to you.
All right, sir. Thank you. And folks, our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing. It seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And He said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, He was speaking to His disciples, and He said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have